Looking at Psalm 6 today, there are times in our lives when we come across negative things that we don't feel like we deserve. And when this happens, it can be so discouraging. And this certainly was the context in Psalm 5. In that psalm, David walks us through the steps he took to get out from that discouragement when he had not done anything to deserve it. But there are other times when we face negative things and we do deserve it. We've done wrong. We've made wrong decisions. And as a result, we deserve the negatives. When God chastises his people because they've done wrong, he'll often use enemies as part of that disciplinary process. And when that happens, God's people can become very depressed and discouraged. And in fact, we should be in this condition. But there's a way out of it. Psalm 6 is the key to getting out of depression and discouragement when we deserve to be depressed. And it is a Psalm of David. It's a prayer for God's grace and mercy when in trouble, which we deserve to be in. It was originally written for the choir director and was to be accompanied upon an 8-string instrument. See, when we're deservedly depressed and discouraged because God's chastising hand is on us, the way out of it is to pray to the God of grace and realize he will hear, he'll answer, he'll deliver his people. Now, one thing God wants his people to do when they're being chastised by him is to run to him. If we'd been doing that more in the first place, we would have not done the thing for which he's chastising us or chastening us. As we journey through these Psalms, it becomes very evident that the key to getting out of any form of discouragement and depression is to go to God. Our first action should be to go to God, not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist, not a help group, not even medication. We should go to God. And there's a great lesson that David learned in life, and if more people would learn that lesson, much of their depression would go away. The psalm breaks down into 3 psalm segments. There's a first part here where David's prayer for request, and it's a request for relief. It's the first of the 7 penitential psalms. David was suffering great mental anguish over his sin and what he had done. And there's 5 requests that David makes here. Look at verse 1. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. He's making a request concerning God's rebuke and chastisement. David apparently knew what he deserved, and this is what he deserved. He deserved to be rebuked. He deserved to be chastised by God. In fact, he does not ask God to spare him of his rebuke and chastisement. What he does ask God is to not deal with him out of his anger or his wrath. The Hebrew here is saying, not in the anger of you rebuke me, or not in the wrath of you chasten me. And that construction emphasizes the manner of chastisement. David does not want God punishing him out of his anger or wrath, so he prays and asks God not to do this. It's not the same kind of prayer Jeremiah prayed. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with anger, lest thou bring me to nothing, in Jeremiah 10:24. It's one thing to be disciplined by God. It's quite another thing to be disciplined by God out of his anger or wrath. Any believer who thinks it's not possible to do things that stir the fiery anger of God need to carefully consider this verse. There are some who say that as a New Testament believer, we never need to be concerned about discipline that comes from God who is angry. And those who take that position cite like Hebrews 12:6 that says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So any discipline comes from the love of God, not the anger of God. But in Hebrews 10:31, the writer warns that it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And he's talking to believers with that warning. So we need to realize that we don't want to make God mad. Then he requests God's grace. We see that beginning in verse 2. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Every saint, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, is a sinner and is in need of God's grace. The closer you actually get to God, the more you realize that fact. In fact, H.A. Ironside said if one actually thinks he is becoming more and more perfect, he is totally out of fellowship with God, because the closer one gets to God, the more one is overwhelmed with how far short of God's holiness he truly is. The scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, abound with the grace of God. Even when God has caused calamity to hit one of his servants when they deserve it, God is willing multiple times to deliver from his inflicted discipline by his amazing grace. The Hebrew word pining away is one that means David was totally sad and feeble. The word literally presents the idea that David was so depressed, his head was hanging down. David appealed to the grace of God that he did not deserve or merit. The grace of God is able to help us as a struggling child of God when he is brought low because of those rebellious choices. David also requests for God's healing. We see that the second part of verse 2 and into 3. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? This word dismayed that appears twice is one that means to be terrified to the point of trembling because you believe that you'll soon be destroyed. And David literally believed he was dying. Those bones that refer to the material part and the soul refers to the immaterial part. And David was in a terrible physical and emotional state of despair. He needed a healing from God, and that's exactly what he asked for. And we see when he's asking how long at the end, he's so emotional, he's so frustrated, that he doesn't even finish the thought. He needed God's deliverance, and he needed it now. Then we come to the first part of verse 4. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. This is a request for God to personally return to David and start blessing him and using him again. God had left David in the sense that he was not blessing him or using him as he once had. David's soul was in total despair, so they asked God to return to him and bless him again. And that teaches us something important. A person's soul only has a sense of purpose when God is at the center of it. When God isn't, life is lonely and life is empty. And then he's requesting salvation. The second part of verse 4 and into 5, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? So he's crying to God for deliverance from this terrible depression. Only God can save someone from a deep depression that was brought on by bad choices. David did not believe he deserved to be delivered. He appeals to the loving kindness and the mercy of God. And he presents himself as totally helpless, a needy person who is in desperate need of the mercy of God. And then in verse 5, he begins with this conjunction 4, which presents a reason or explanation why God should deliver him. If he died, he'd no longer be in a position to defend God or testify for God or offer praise and thanksgiving to God. And so if God would deliver David, David could become a greater witnessing agent for the grace and mercy of God. It's a tremendous reason to ask God to deliver us when we have blown it. It enables us to testify of the wonderful grace and mercy of God in having power to deliver us. And then we see in 6 and 7 a description of himself. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all of my foes. David describes himself in these verses as an emotional wreck. He was very weary with sighing and groaning. He was physically and emotionally exhausted. He cried himself to sleep just about every night. David shed so many tears that his couch-like bed was drenched. He cried so much that it affected his eyesight. There's a state sin will leave you in. Sin will leave you, not leave you happy. It will leave you totally and completely depressed. And one thing that added the weight of the sin and caused his depression was he was surrounded by enemies. God was chastening David, and adversaries were making life so miserable for David that he was crying and aging. And when you find yourself surrounded by enemies, it can wear you down physically and emotionally. It can cause you to get old fast. So what are you going to do? One time there was no stronger and confident person than David, but sin destroyed his confidence, his emotions, his life. And the depression David was in, he deserved. God was chastening David for his sin, and instead of being happy in his sin, he was miserable because of his sin. And David did the one thing every believer who deserves to be depressed should do. He went straight to God. Then we come to his warnings to his enemies. Look at verses 8 to 10. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. So he's warning his enemies to get away from him and stop making his life miserable. Their attack against David was something God classified as iniquity. Now, the basis for them getting away from David is that God had heard David's prayer and he would answer it. David had an inward conviction that God was about to answer his prayers. And their plotting and planning and their persecution was about to be punished by God. So they would be very wise to back off and depart from saying and doing negative things against David. And then he warns his enemies about their future shame. We see at the end of verse 9 and into verse 10, he says that the Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. There's a commentator from the book of Psalms named A.G. Clark that says, those who augment the sufferings of saints under discipline will suffer shame. In the experience of God's saints, the sun always breaks out after the showers. So even if a servant of God deserves the chastisement of God, woe to the enemy who causes it, because if that servant cries out to God, God will hear and will answer and will bring the culprits to sudden shame. And then lastly, David warns his enemies about their future dismay. He says in the second part of verse 10, they shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. That word dismay, that was used in verses 2 and 3, which means to be terrified to the point of trembling, becomes one sense. He will soon be destroyed. David is warning his enemies that what they had done to him, God will do to them. Whatever it is that they did in their attempt to destroy David, God would turn it back against them. It's a very serious psalm. It's dangerous to lash out against God's chosen servants. Believers who are depressed ought to be spending more time talking to God in prayer. Believers who are depressed because they have sinned and deserve to be depressed ought to honestly confess to God and appeal for God's loving kindness and mercy to deliver them from the depression. Adversaries who are opposing faithful servants of God, even if those servants deserve negatives, need to be forewarned that God will settle the score for the evil they have done. And when God chastises us, he has his reasons. It's to drive us to depend on him, to train us to be better soldiers in Christian war, to intensify our hatred for sin, to add to our knowledge of our own depravity, to cause us to grow more and more in grace, to wean us away from a love of this world, to heighten our expectation of glory, and to enable us to be great witnesses for God's grace.